Today on The Journey.
This sin is not reserved for evil guys. There are a lot of guys that have a solid faith commitment. In our culture today, chances are you're going to get pulled into one of the addictions because you are getting bombarded with it.
You like something. You like it a lot. How do you know if you like it too much? How do you know if you're addicted? On today's broadcast, Ron Moore and men's minister Tunch Ilkin take a look at the signs that men and the women in their lives shouldn't ignore. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourages its proper use. You can get yours when you call 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron to introduce his guest host for part one of a discussion they've titled, A Man and His Temptations, Addictions, On the Journey.
Thank you for joining us today on The Journey. We're involved in a series of broadcasts focusing on the real issues of real men. And joining me to discuss these issues is Tunch Ilkin, pastor of men's ministry at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Sought after speaker around the country, Tunch was an NFL Pro Bowler, 13 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a year with the Green Bay Packers. Tunch, thanks for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been. You know, doing this has been really good. You're probably losing listeners, though, because my input on this.
Still thinking about the car.
You want it real. You want it real. That's right.
We're going to talk about the real issues that men face. And by the way, some of these issues came from a men's retreat.
Right, they did.
You asked some guys to give us some things that need to be addressed.
Right.
That maybe aren't being addressed in some areas. And these were the subjects that came. One of the subject we're going to talk about today is addictions.
Right.
So let's just get right into it. Let's cut to the chase. I know I'm an addict if what?
Yeah. Well, number one, I know that I'm an addict if what I'm doing to get that buzz is taking more and more and more. I know I'm an addict if I can't go without. Well, actually, in the counseling community, they'll say 30 days. If you can't stay clean for 30 days.
Okay.
You know, I've also heard as short as a week. I know I'm an addict if every time I reach for whatever it is that I'm addicted to, I need a bigger jolt of that. I need more of that drug or kind of a wilder experience. I know that I'm an addict if whatever it is that I'm dealing with, I'm thinking about all the time. And there are a number of more signs than that.
So an addiction is when you continue to do something, you know it's harmful,
right?
But you crave it. You can't control the urge to get it because the high feeling that you're going to get is better than the crash you're going to have afterwards because you know there's going to be a crash afterwards.
And you know that you're in it too. If you are experiencing real negative responses and you continue, if you are in a specific lifestyle, there's a number of things to be addicted to and you start having consequences. Like if, let's say for the sake of the discussion, if you are addicted to alcohol, and you have two DUIs, and you have not stopped drinking, then you know that you have an addiction. If you're addicted to a drug and you get busted or you get found out and you continue, there's a pretty good chance that you're dealing with an addiction.
So you're not heeding any wake-up calls.
Right, you're just ignoring it.
Okay, so there's a lot of addictions, and we're going to go through some of these. But Tunch, particularly working with men, the addiction of pornography. It's always been around.
Right.
But today, man, I hear it with younger guys more and more and more. At least if we wanted to look at pornography when we were growing up, you had to sneak around.
You had to go buy a Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, now, a couple clicks and you're there on the computer.
Yeah.
So, again, working with guys all the time, pornography is an issue.
Yeah, pornography is a huge issue. And because of things like iPhones and iPads, you can get on a porn site as quickly as you can get it on any site. Mm-hmm. And I have found out that when you go to those sites, there's a certain kind of advertising or marketing or things that show up and keep trying to drag you in. And having an iPhone, you don't have to be at your desk to access all this stuff. You know, talk to guys that got it on their iPhones. That's why the old flip phone, I still say, is the best phone for you. You know, but it's true. There are so many ways. Remember, when we were kids, that not only did you have to get a magazine, a Playboy, but it was in a brown paper bag behind the counter. Now you've got magazines that are not even considered pornography that have soft porn. So we are constantly being bombarded with image after image after image after image.
So talk to the guy who, maybe he won't say he's addicted.
Right.
But he will at least admit he's looking at it a lot.
Yeah, you know, and I've done that. And let's just say this, that number one, it pollutes your mind. It absolutely pollutes your mind. It puts images in your head. And so now they're locked away. It's not like you see an image and then it exits. It's there. It's in your memory banks. And so it steals from your wife because now you are comparing your wife to this image that we've just seen on a porn site. The other thing it does, it really plays havoc with the way your body releases dopamines. And so when you get this buzz, whether it is through alcohol, drugs, or whether it's through pornography, your dopamine levels skyrocket. So now your desire for that skyrocket feeling becomes a drug in itself. And so now that level goes high. And so whatever you saw, well, now that erotic image is not quite enough. So now you start looking for the more erotic image and you get into this darkness of erotica and it pulls you deeper and deeper in. And let's face it, you can get as crazy from an erotica standpoint on the internet. Guys that I've talked to have struggled with the fact of what really is available to them.
So you got chemicals going off in your body. Obviously, there's a physical aspect of it, but now there's a mental aspect of it. You need to see what you saw plus. And we talked about this in a previous broadcast, but it goes back to the old sin of lust. You are looking and fixing your eyes on something you shouldn't see for sexual pleasure.
Right. And that hits you two ways. Number one, obviously, I am participating in this sin that God says is dangerous. And he lumps it with all these sins together that really lead to death. I don't want to say spiritual death, obviously, because God can restore us. Right. But there is this thing that's going on at that moment in time. And now, not only it is sinful before God, and how does that impact my fellowship with God? After I've just looked in a porn site and men talking about using pornography. So now there is this break in fellowship with God because there's this shame that comes with that. And as you talk to guys, they're dealing with this tremendous shame. Then the other part of that is the death that it has on the way you view your wife, because now you're picturing an image. You're no longer looking at your wife as your wife. You are seeing other images in your mind. You talk to guys, and one of the hideous aspects of pornography is the way it impacts the way you look at your wife for sex. And so now you look at her differently, and you start fantasizing, and you're really not with your wife. And so guys that think that a problem with pornography can be simply solved by exiting that behavior, well, those images are still in your head, and guys need counseling to get through that. And having shared time of confession from guys, listening to their confessions, and hearing really how powerful that addiction is. I would say out of all the addictions, it is probably the most subtle in that guys don't think they're addicted to porn.
Right.
Until either their wives find out or people find out and they still continue along those lines.
You mentioned death, and really it is a killing of a reality of being with your wife. Because
right.
Even when you're with her in person, you're thinking of other images. There's right. A fantasy going on. All right, so let's back up a little bit. Some women are listening and they're saying, man, there's a bunch of perverted guys out there.
Right.
Not my husband.
Right.
And certainly not my son. My son would never have a problem with that.
No, you know what? This sin is not reserved for just evil guys. I mean, there are a lot of guys who are struggling with this, who are guys that have a solid faith commitment and are good guys. Look, if you have an addictive personality, and in our culture today, in our society, chances are you're going to get pulled into one of the addictions because you are getting bombarded with it. And it is a problem among kids. You know, I'm a firm believer that you put every safeguard on every one of your computers. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I've done. And James Dobson said a long time ago, he challenged us as men to get rid of the premium channels. And I remember thinking to myself, but there's football on HBO and there's boxing on Showtime. But he was right. He said, you know what? You wouldn't allow sewage into your house. You wouldn't allow darkness to come in. You would fight it. So why would you be any different? And understanding that, and I've counseled guys that struggle with pornography, and they have really submitted to accountability. But when you don't change the locks on your computers, when you don't keep it from coming in, it is an uphill challenge. Yeah. Because if all it is accountability, then we get together and, man,
I tell you, I failed again.
I was here and I was there. And, man, I've been praying and asking forgiveness. And I understand the remorse and the brokenness. And I'm thankful for that. But until you take the next step, which is saying, how do I guard my heart? How do I guard my eyes? How do I guard my mind? And one of the ways is, do you really need to get to the internet from your iPhone? I mean, just seriously, I don't know how to get to the internet from my iPhone. But that's besides the point.
Yeah,
that's
you,
the
besides, you technology.
That's right. I don't like technology.
Example.
You know, I always say, hey, you know what? Here's a novel concept. Why don't we use our phones as phones and nothing else? But I understand, even though I'm still in the 20th century, not everybody is. But you've got to protect yourself. You've got to protect your computer. You've got to make sure that you can't get, you know, just like if you were an alcoholic, you would not walk into the bar. Well, you might, but you shouldn't.
So if you have young children,
yes,
put the locks on those computers, put the safeguards on those computers. Well, they're only nine. It doesn't matter if they're only nine. Start doing it right now. The buddy systems, you can buy the programs that have
right.
them. Put your computers in visible places in the home
right.
with the screen always out. Just some basic safeguards. Some guys are saying, yeah, you know, that's not a struggle for me. I tell you, Tunch, you go to Fox News and get the headlines from Fox, and then they've got all this other stuff, and there's stuff you shouldn't see. Again, two clicks, you can go from Fox News to the place you shouldn't be. The height of the temptation and the danger of that, it's unprecedented, really,
right.
the accessibility.
You know, a couple of shows ago, I just shared with our listeners and with you that when we went from a regular TV to an HD TV, years ago, during the Promise Keepers movement, where we were just called as men to really lead, I remember that was when I got rid of the premium channels because I know what I'm capable of. I'm not delusional. I'm not thinking I'm this naturally, this very righteous, pure guy. I need God to cause purity. I don't even ask God to help me with purity because there's not a part of my body that wants to go to purity. There's only the Holy Spirit that can cause me to go to purity. So, you know, I got rid of the premium channels and I'm not a technology guy. So internet has always been something that I've never kind of played around with just because, number one, I don't know where to go and I'm scared to death of it. So I've always, whether it's my wife and my children, people that I love have access to my computer. So you can see right. what I'm watching. So I have the safeguards. And I thought I had it done on television too. And that, like I was sharing this story in one of our past shows, we changed to HDTV, and when we changed to our HDTV, our cable changed, and then we had premium channels. And I'll never forget the night that I was surfing through the channels, not thinking that there would be any pornography on it. There it is, bam, I hit a station, and there's pornography. Showtime, and it was late, you know, I guess those things late at night, they show the nudity and the pornography. And I'll never forget that my brain said, change the channel. And my thumb wouldn't work. I thought I broke my thumb. It wouldn't work. I was going, change it. And I couldn't believe how quickly that I got pulled in, mm-hmm. even with, you know, my wife Sharon in the other room. And eventually I changed it and I got rid of it, but I was shocked. Having not looked at any pornography in a long, long, long time, years, actually at that point, years. And to see how quickly that I got sucked in and I couldn't move. I was shocked by that.
Well, women listening, just take it by faith.
Yeah.
This is an issue. Pray for your husband. Pray for your sons. Do the things you need to do around your house to guard, lock, protect the computers and just make sure as men we continue to do things. If you're involved in pornography, get some help. This is one of those things no one else knows. I'm going to stop doing it tomorrow. Go get an accountability group, get a counselor to help you work through some of these things. These are things that need counseling.
Yeah, and
it's an addiction.
Right, and it's not, believe me when I say this, it's not like when you go to a counselor and you say, hey man, I'm really struggling with a pornography addiction. They go, oh wow, I can't believe. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, that figures.
That's
you know
a
what I mean?
Shock.
Yeah, it's like, no, that is a real shocker. I mean, it is a huge, huge, huge problem. And look, there is no shame in admitting a weakness. There is no shame in saying, look, I'm going to need some help in this area. As a matter of fact, when a guy comes up to me and tells me he is struggling with pornography, the first thing that happens is my heart breaks for him. And the second thing that happens is that, man, thank you for sharing. All right, let's see how we counsel through this.
So we can promise you, if you go to a counselor and you say, I'm struggling with pornography, they're not going to say, huh, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
You're my first guy.
So I'm not
today?
Sure what to do.
Yeah, yes,
so pornography is one. A lot of addictions we could talk about. Let's look at one more. And then we want to go through some common characteristics of addictive behaviors.
Right.
Counselors are telling us that particularly the young marriages that are having some struggles, a lot of times the guys are addicted to video games. I was reading the other day that 30-year-olds make up the biggest percentage of what's called gamers. And you think about it. I mean, these games, you can play anyone around the world.
Right.
You know, they're not the little things we had growing up. I mean, these are almost real-life stuff.
We had Monopoly, and we had the backyard.
and the backyard,
had Trouble.
A baseball bat.
I remember Pop-O-Matic Trouble.
So you don't need kids to play these games.
Right.
Guys have to deal with these issues. So they're coming home. They're tired. They go to these games. They're playing someone internationally sometimes. And this counselor was saying that the games are destroying marriages. Now, those guys didn't start playing the games when they turned 30. They were playing them at home. And mothers and dads got to know that when you buy your 5-year-old the iPhone and put Angry Birds or whatever else on there, that's becoming a part of the process of being addicted to these games and playing them and getting the buzz out of whatever buzz you get playing Angry Birds.
You know, when you told me this, it all of a sudden started making sense. I do the Steelers radio, and I work for Steelers TV, so I do a bunch of Steelers show. And so I'm with these guys a lot, and I'm at camp throughout Steelers training camp up in Latrobe for the 3.5 to 4 weeks they're up there. Well, one of the things that jumped out at me is these guys, and they're all between 23 and 35, these guys are crazed about Madden. I mean, they have Madden football, and you would think, come on, Madden football, but that's pretty benign. But these guys will literally stay up, like, they got practice at 9 o'clock. They're going to be up at 6. They're playing to the wee hours of the morning. They're playing in between practices when, in my day, we would take naps. So I'm not saying these guys are addicted with it, but the intensity and the competition and the bragging rights. And I was like going, this is crazy. These guys are really into Madden. Yeah. And you would never think, what's the harm in a little Madden football?
Right. Unlike pornography, there's nothing wrong with playing a video game until it becomes an addiction. So let's start talking about some of these characteristics of addictive behavior. I'm going to read through these and just jump in at any time. Number one, the person becomes obsessed, constantly thinks of the object, the activity, the substance.
Yeah, whether it's cocaine, whether, let's say, the drug of choice. Counselors will tell you that you are always thinking about the drug. So let's talk about a crack cocaine addict. He is constantly thinking about his next high. Where is he going to buy it? How is he going to buy it? Then he uses, he becomes high. He already begins thinking about his next high from that crack cocaine. And so your life now starts revolving around your addiction. So whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol, whether it's cocaine, your job, you cannot stop thinking of it. And so a lot of counselors will tell you that that drug is like your lover, a lover that you become obsessed with.
Obsessed with the object, activity, or substance. Number two, they will seek it out or engage in the behavior even though it causes harm, physical problems, poor work or study performance, problems with friends, family, or fellow workers. You talked about the guy that got two or three DUIs and still
right.
is after the bottle. Even the harm it does, not going to slow him down.
Right, and even the danger. You'll see suburban kids that'll go into the inner city to score heroin. I mean, go into places that if you were not addicted, you wouldn't dream of going. Yeah. And yet they are willing to walk in to places where drive-bys and drug deals gone bad, or even the thought of being busted is still not a deterrent, or even the thought of, here's the real sadness of it, let's use heroin, because one of the things that I don't think people realize is that heroin is in our high schools. Here in Western Pennsylvania, there are numerous heroin addicts that are in their teens. You know, in our day, you and I, we come from the 60s and 70s. People were using hallucinogens, they were using amphetamines, they were using barbiturates, marijuana was big. It wasn't as easy to get heroin back then as it is today for a high school kid. So even the fear of overdose does not deter these kids. And make no mistake about it, everyone just about in our community either knows someone who is OD'd from usually heroin or an opiate of some sort that have died from an overdose, and it might even be a friend or a family member, but someone that is in addiction is continuing, even knowing the hold that it can get on you.
The harm is going to befall them, and yet they continue to do it. Number three, a person will compulsively engage in the activity or do the activity over and over, even if they don't want to. There's something in them that can't keep from doing it. And right. I think that's a huge telltale sign right there. I don't want to do it. I know it harms me, and yet I can't keep from doing it.
Yeah, well, you know, having counseled guys that have struggled with an addiction, here's a crazy addiction. You know, we talked a little bit about it in one of the other episodes, is an affair a lot of times becomes an addiction. And talking to guys who want to leave the affair, and yet they can't. They're emotionally and mentally tied. And, you know, once again, let's go back to the physiological response. Your dopamines are off the charts now. Just to feel normal, you have to get this extreme buzz, or if it's a sexual addiction, you need to go in really into the depths of the darkness of erotica just to feel aroused. From a standpoint of whether it's alcohol, whether it's a different drug, pick your drug, you have to now engage in the drug just to feel normal, because the ceiling on what makes you feel good because of your addiction has just gone off the charts in your brain. So you're struggling, and that's what happens with the addict. You are struggling just getting enough drugs to get to the point where you're feeling normal.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. You know, it doesn't take a long look to see how sex-saturated our culture has become. Whether in television shows and movies, on billboards, or at the mall, one thing is certain. Our society doesn't hesitate to put sexuality and sexual topics right in front of us. But where is the church in this discussion? Far too often, Christians remain uncomfortably silent about sexuality. Parents are reluctant to talk to their kids about purity. Men and women, who desperately need accountability, keep their sexual struggles to themselves. And churches often avoid these difficult issues entirely. But because God created us and created sex as part of the human experience, we must talk about this vital topic. We need to know what God has to say about it and how we can apply those truths to our lives. To that end, Ron has written a thoughtful booklet called A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here are Ron and Tunch with a look at our next time together.
Number five, a person does not appear to have control as to when, how long, or how much he or she will continue the behavior. You go to the store shopping, you only need a belt, you end up buying 8 pair of shoes. Right. Shopping is another addiction that we haven't talked about. I know you struggle with that one in particular, but you said, no, well, I'm not going to talk about shopping. Is it something you didn't want to admit?
You know what? Look, all I know is if I had those new cowboy boots, I wouldn't be talking about someone else shopping.
Yeah, they are boots, but they're not new. Number six, denies problems resulting from engagement in the behavior, even though others can see the negative effects.
Right.
Goes back to the kind of Nathan thing. Someone loves you enough to tell you, man, this is harming you, and you're not willing to listen to the counsel.
We hope you can join us for that discussion next time. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that The Journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.